Good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be here. I hope you all feel that way. And it's nice to have a rainy morning. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Yes, Father in heaven, we come before you this beautiful rainy morning. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the opportunity to be here as brothers and sisters meet together. And we ask that this day we would learn more about you, more about each other, and that we would come before you with humbleness in our hearts and be able to learn. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for a text this morning, turn in your Bibles to Mark 10. I'm going to read Mark 10, 13 to 16. The title of my message this morning is, Are You a Safe Place? Mark 10, 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Now obviously, this is geared toward children. And as we think about children, especially at my stage in life, I have two of my own children, and I think about being a dad and being a safe place for those children. And I had a stark reminder the other day of the importance as a father to be very proactive in the things that I do and the way that I live my life. A simple example was a couple, probably about 2 months ago or longer. I don't remember what the conversation is, but I decided for whatever reason on the way to church, I'm going to give my wife the silent treatment. So I'm not talking, and after a while, from the back seat, someone says, Mommy and Daddy aren't talking. Okay. Well, that, you know how it is. You try to hang on to your anger a little longer yet, you know, but inside you're like, this is really childish. So we laughed, and I don't remember what the issue is, but it was all turned out okay then. And later this week, my wife was driving the pickup truck, and a walnut falls out of the tree and breaks the windshield. It wasn't a big break, but it needs a new windshield. Well, lo and behold, somewhere from the back seat, or I don't know exactly when it happened, there was a little voice that said, Mommy, is Daddy not going to talk to you now? So suddenly the reality of my actions set in really hard. So it was a good lesson for me. So there's two types of children. There's young children, and then there's adult children. And you know, there was a time some years back where there was a specific situation that I was involved in that I was really battling with some turmoil inside. And I wanted to talk to somebody about it, but I didn't know who or like how to. You know how those situations can be. You feel a little vulnerable maybe, so you don't really want to. You're careful who you talk to. Well, there was a certain man that I went to and talked to him about it, and he was completely unrelated to the situation, but he was very patient and kind, and we prayed about it. And in that moment, in that time, I became the little child because I was broken in my struggle. And that man became the safe place for me at that time. So in that moment, I was the child. I was a little child. I was broken. He became a safe place. And you know, at times it's easier to share our struggles with somebody that's maybe completely unrelated to the situation, or even sometimes you find yourself talking to a stranger and you hear a little bit about their struggles in life, and sometimes, as weird or unique as it is, it actually opens a door for you to talk to someone you maybe never even met before about your struggle, and you part ways, but it sometimes can be easy because there's no strings attached. You'll never see this person again. And it's unique how you can actually form a very special bond with a person you meet one time in your life. Sometimes you need a safe place, and sometimes you are the safe place. I remember, it goes some years back, there's a place that I still deliver to today, and there was a retired man and his wife. It was a restaurant, and it was an Egyptian restaurant, and they would hang out kind of at that restaurant. Just, they were old, retired, they didn't really know what to do with their time. And interestingly enough, it was an Egyptian owner. And as I would go in and get the bill paid, I learned to know this old couple, and they smoked profusely. They had very bad language. They were very, very hard, crude kind of people. But as time went on, I noticed something really interesting started changing with this man. And I guess as he realized that maybe his end was coming near, he brought this little Bible in, and I started noticing him reading this little Bible. And what was interesting is the Egyptian owner, as much as he don't believe in our religion, he allowed this man to sit in his office, and this man spent like 3 to 6 hours a day in his office reading this Bible. And obviously that opened a door to build a connection with this old man. And he asked a lot of questions, and I found it interesting how between his cigarette puffing, he was trying to understand the scriptures and make sense out of it, and he wasn't quiet about it either. He would ask other people in the restaurant questions too, and he learned pretty quick that he can only ask certain people certain questions or he just gets a cold shoulder. So in that situation, I became the safe place for him, and he was the broken child. And you know, it wasn't long before he passed away, and it's years later now. And there's times that I wish I could go back and talk to him. And as I think about that situation, I look back and think of the things that I maybe should have done or should have said. But, you know, that door's closed. That opportunity is behind me now. But it's another one of those really unique, those rare and unique opportunities that maybe you get every once in a while to actually befriend a stranger. And I find that those very few opportunities you get throughout your life can be incredibly special. How you can bond with a stranger. There are those few times throughout life that you get the chance to show yourself a safe place to a stranger. And it comes and it goes so quickly. So in order to make the most out of it, you have to capitalize when there's a little opportunity like that. But on a day-to-day basis, you know, we have our family, we have our friends, we have our children, our wife, our church community. And even though, as a whole, we like to think most of us are walking with Christ and all, even amongst ourselves, there's a lot of us that need a safe place. And my challenge to you is, are you living a life and are you developing the character that people can tell you're a safe place, or as soon as you get little information, are you spreading that around? I want to look at Luke 10, 30 to 37. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" So we see the priest here and we see the Levite. You know, that man broken by the road became a little child in his need. And the priest and the Levite, they forbade to help him. They forbade him. Like Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." In other words, these priests and the Levite, they forbid that man. They didn't help him. But along comes the Samaritan, and he took the time. Now you think of all three of these men, they most likely, all three of them probably were doing something important. They had places to go, they had things to do, and maybe the other two just simply seen it as they just didn't have time, or it was just too much of an inconvenience to interrupt their journey to help these people. This man, help this man. But along comes the Samaritan, and obviously this is a parable from Jesus, so maybe this is not even a true story, but it's a perfect illustration of, let's just think of the Samaritan. Where was he going? What was on his mind? What were his deadlines? And he took the time, and you think how much time that would have taken to load him up on his own beast, his donkey, and take him to get help. And on top of it, he paid for the man. In that moment, he met that stranger that was in need, and he helped that stranger. He became that stranger's safe place. As he was going on his journey, he probably just rounded the bend, and just like that, there was this man laying there. And in those few seconds, he had the opportunity to either decide that he was going to help or that he was going to just turn a cold shoulder and just move on. And that's so much like our lives today. When we as we go about our daily life, we see these little opportunities. It could be with a stranger. It could be with your own family, a friend or someone. And it's so easy to almost subconsciously come up with a quick reason why we have something that's more important. And all of us have important work. The things that we do, for the most part, are important. But the calling of our life is to help and to have that eye opened for opportunity. Something that happened to me one time is I was at Walmart waiting in the line, and there was a Hispanic man in front of me, and I was there kind of scrutinizing him, making my judgments about him, and honestly thinking, if only these people would be more like us, this world would be a better place. Well, I didn't realize how quick I was about to realize that if the world was like me, maybe it wouldn't be a better place. because a lady that was in front of him had a shopping cart full of groceries and some children. And she goes to pay, and there apparently wasn't enough money. And suddenly the blank look comes on her face and the cashier, and they're just kind of looking, and they kind of look around. And immediately I knew the right thing to do would be to pull out my wallet and just pay for it. But as I'm there stumbling around in my self-righteousness, the man I was scrutinizing, his wallet came out first. And he was the one that paid for her grocery bill. You know, as I was thinking about that, I was like, I literally traded $50 or whatever it was for the opportunity to impact somebody's life. You know, if somebody did that to you, you would remember that for the rest of your life. Was it worth $50? It wasn't. When you deny the opportunity to help somebody truly in need, you are forbidding the little children to come unto you. I want to look at Luke 24, 28. You don't need to turn there. This is a story of the two that were on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was crucified. And they were having conversation. And in verse 28, and they drew nigh. Well, the stranger showed up, who was actually Jesus, and they did not know it was Jesus. And they were conversing with Jesus, who was a stranger. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And maybe I'm taking this a little out of context, but when I read that, it makes me think of somebody that doesn't know you, and they're conversing with you, and they honestly don't know you. But maybe it's just a normal conversation. Maybe they find themselves at a hard spot. And while you're carefully picking your words and deciding what to say, maybe you lead them into some scripture, or maybe you pray for them, or you do something that suddenly their eyes are opened, and in their heart maybe they say, this man or woman is like Jesus. But once again, those opportunities in life, especially with someone that's not part of your life, they're so far and few between, they come and they go so quick. Just like Jesus, he disappeared on them. And you can imagine when he revealed himself and then disappeared, all the questions that must have gone through their mind. It says their hearts burned inside them. And what does that mean? Why did their hearts burn? I would imagine that it was probably because of the things that he had revealed to them, the scriptures. Was it refreshing to them? Were their eyes opened? Were their hearts stirred to search? So just as you go about your life, all it takes is those little, something little that you do that maybe you make someone else's heart burn within them, and you're gone. You're on with your life, they're on with their life. But by chance, or by the grace of God maybe, you put that person on a road to searching. There's another story that I thought of, happened to me just the other month. I made my delivery, and as soon as I entered that restaurant, I immediately noticed the atmosphere in there was incredibly tense. And I could hear over, I knew the owner, and he's a very big, rough, upset, angry man. And I could hear him over in the kitchen, and I immediately realized that, like normal, he couldn't find enough help, so he's in the kitchen today, and I could hear him barking his orders, and he was very upset. And so I'm patiently waiting to collect the check, and I heard him yell over to his wife, "Go pay the egg guy." All right, so she comes over, and she's holding the checkbook, and I noticed pretty quick something was really wrong because she was shaking so bad that she couldn't hardly even hold that book. And just doing what I do, I just says, "How's your day going?" You know, whatever. Here, 2 days before, she rolled her SUV twice, and her son was in with her. Thankfully, both of them were, for the most part, okay. But even though it being 2 days later, she was so worked up about this, and under the intense stress and pressure in there, I imagine that wasn't helping it. But she couldn't even write out the check. She was fumbling and she said, "Just have some patience. I need to get my act together." And in a minute, the husband, I believe it's her husband, he comes over and he almost yells at her, "What ails you?" And just blows her out of the way. And I'm put in this shock mode, like, this is really bad. Like, this is a really bad situation. And immediately my mind says, you need to do something. But what can you do in a situation like that? So he paid the check, and she's still standing there. And he hands me the check, and I wrote something on my paper. I just kind of acted like I was making sure everything was good. I was waiting for him to leave. And the second he left, I knew whatever was going to happen had to be done quick. And so I simply just turned to the lady and I shook her hand and said, "I'm really sorry about what happened, and I'll be praying for you." And then I got out of there. But that stuck with me, really stuck with me, that how quickly, and just like that, in the snap of a finger, in the middle of your day, something can show up right in your face that I feel is your responsibility to do something about. And that's between yourself and God to figure out what that immediate response is. But I feel like the challenge that I'm trying to bring to you is, as you walk throughout your life, you some days are going to be the child. Some days you're going to be a safe place. And unless you're aware and looking around and prepared, you might miss your opportunities. And they brought the young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little children, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Are you like Jesus, or are you like the rebuking disciples? Are you making yourself a safe place for your family and for those around you? Or are you just simply too busy? Luke 10, 36 and 37. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy." To who? To his children, to his neighbor, to a stranger, to a friend, the family, the unexpected situation, the broken at heart, the searching. "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." And he ends that verse with, "Go and do likewise." I'm going to end this with, could the song leader lead number 460, the short verse, "To be like Jesus." God bless you.